Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Welcome back, Andy. We missed you.
Thank you, Jimmy. I kind of forgot I was not obtainable last week. My services were not able to be obtained last week in a time frame that was satisfactory for both of our, you being retired and me only working part-time anymore, our also busy schedules, right? Like, it was like, well, how about I could do these three times. And you're like, I can't do those three, but I can do these three. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do any one of those three.
It just shows you we must both be busy, important guys, Andy.
No, in our minds.
Neither and, one, right?
Right. Like, we're not really, we're really not. If you sat back and looked at it, neither one, you're like, no, I'm not really that busy. But I don't have time. I can't fit this in my window because once, this is for everybody out there as you become more life season. As you become more life season, once something is set in your schedule, it takes a backhoe and a bulldozer to get it out. Like, you're set. Like, it's almost in stone. Whereas when you were less life experienced, you could be more nimble. Now you're like, nope, 4:30, dinner at the Blue Plate Special Diner. You're arriving at 4:20.
And you know what else, Andy? Let's just, I thought you were headed in a different direction. This is the time of year where there's parties and graduation parties and the summer season has started and Memorial Day weekend and all of this stuff. It's like everybody's busy, got so much stuff going on. Another part of this in missing you, Andy, you are not even aware of this, okay? But our listeners now are. You have always been our Friday show.
Okay.
For years and years. We actually, this week, the schedule's been shuffled. Everyone knows we record our show. It's not being played on Friday. It's Monday. Okay. For our listeners, today is Monday that the show is out. And it's, I don't want to get into it, but it was just kind of a shuffle of availability of our guests. Friday was our show with Mike Villagrana, the executive director of Happy Valley United. So I just shuffled things a bit, Andy. So our listeners have gone two Fridays without you, Andy.
So is this a one-hit wonder?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't care.
You're the Friday guy. You back clean up. You're the one who wraps up the week for everybody.
You're the
Ask Andy guy. Yeah, you're our Friday king, Andy.
For bowl prediction?
For everything, Andy.
Yeah.
You're the Friday guy. You're the cleanup guy. So let's get to it.
Let's go.
Get to our topic. We're going to have another fun topic today, Andy. And you spent years, I've mentioned this before, as a sports writer. That's how you think. That's how your head works. So I'm going to cater to that, okay? We're going to lean into it, as they say, Andy, all right? What I want to know is we're going into the 2025 season. It's the off season. You're putting on your thinking cap when it's time to write an article. What are the headlines? What are the storylines for this 2025 Penn State team? You know, we've spent time, we've gone in the weeds a little bit, looked position by position. I'm looking big story now. If the national outlet came to Andy Shea saying, Andy, you're the guy to talk to about this Penn State team, what are those top stories?
So you're asking for sort of a one-pager, like a storybook outline, like four, five, six different things is what we're talking about. Like,
yeah,
what are some of the more higher level things? And there's a laundry list of them that comes to mind. It's going to start. This is not me beating a same drum because I have not been a drum beater on this front. But this team has high aspirations. It has next level aspirations. And remember, this was a team that went to the college football playoff semifinal a year ago and had every opportunity to win that football game. And we're still talking about next level aspirations, right? So we know what we're talking about here. How do you, this team has, this program under James Franklin, there's a bit of a pattern, right? There's a very 10 plus wins on average, right? He's a 10 plus win on average coach, right? So there's that. How do you write an ending that isn't something we could sketch out today? In other words, what has to transpire for it not to be, well, kind of the same as it ever was and look exactly like you would expect it to look? And that is what the next level is going to have to look like. And for me, when I start there, it starts and stops with something that Penn State fans are going to roll their eyes about and be like, duh, tell me something I don't already know. But it starts and ends with Ohio State. They are the defending national champions, right? Now, they still have a Michigan problem, right? But this 12-team playoff affords you an opportunity to be less than perfect and still get a ticket to the dance, right? You could sort of pencil it in right now. We've done it for years, Jimmy. All right, when scheduling, looking at their schedule, predicting wins, pencil in lost to Ohio State, pencil in lost to Ohio State, pencil in lost to Ohio State. It's sort of what, you know, kind of fuels and moves this rivalry is it's very lopsided. And the result is always the same. 2020 to 22, it was wild, right? Ohio State was scoring 30 and 40 points. Penn State was keeping pace, but they didn't have that much firepower. The last couple games, Ohio State has scored 20 points, right? Both of them. And the Penn State offense has gone MIA more recently. Last two games, Penn State has as many offensive touchdowns as they do defensive touchdowns. That's one on each side of the ball. So for me, it's all about they have to start and end. It changes dramatically. They have to beat Ohio State. That's where it starts and ends with me. My storybook will always start and end with this, A, because they are already at the next level. They're already there. They have their national championship now. They've been at that next level for a really long time. Like I mentioned, aforementioned, they still have a Michigan problem. However, they are at that next level. They've been knocking at the door, close to knocking at the door, a field goal away from kicking the door down probably, and they finally got across the line. They have been on the stage for a long time, and they're the next level. You got to punch the bully back and block in his eye and make it hurt once before you can make a huge impact. Penn State needs to start with that game.
Andy, it's interesting how you frame it. I'm going to say essentially the same thing in that there's a level of expectation for this team. And I think in a bit you've merged two of the what I defined as two different issues. You know, how do they handle that level of expectation, and can James Franklin win a big game? Okay. And I'm splitting them up.
I agree.
And you look at it, it'd be different if the schedule were, they're going to go automatically 11-0. They're going to play Ohio State, and that's going to be the game who's going to decide who's the king of the Big Ten and who's going to go to a 4-team playoff. That's not the way the game works anymore. I look at it as let me frame it in a question. Penn State goes through the season and they beat Oregon, but they lose to Ohio State and finish 11-1. Now, I know the playoffs are yet to come. Big Ten Conference Championship game is yet to come.
Yep.
Would you feel like they've met expectations if they went 11-1 through the regular season?
Yes. It doesn't matter. 11-1 still winning 11 out of 12 games. That's any college football fan will take that. But what I'm saying is to sort of climb onto that next level stage, and in the scenario you gave, they beat Oregon and lose to Ohio State, they've still got a shot, right, Jimmy? Because they're probably going to be in the Big Ten championship. They're definitely in the college football playoff. They got their tickets. They're not the next level team, though. That's why, for me, to change and write this, that, you know, for history not to repeat itself and for it to be the same story that we could write today, it has to be it has to be beating Ohio State. They could go ahead and beat Oregon too. They could lose to Oregon. That's not that kind of – Oregon's not at the next level. Penn State and Oregon are right next to each other looking to climb the steps, right? Oregon knocked at the door because they beat Ohio State last year, and then they just got gobsmacked. So they fell right back down. Penn State never fell off the horse like that. So I just think it's about – I have not been a – well, they need to beat Ohio State for it to be successful. No, we're talking about what has to be different. This is – don't let history repeat itself and win that game that you shouldn't. That's the Ohio State game.
I understand that, Andy. I think just though the changes in college football, I think if you – I do think it's important for this team to be either Oregon or Ohio State.
I agree. I don't disagree with you.
10-2 with losses to each of those teams, they've proven nothing.
Same as it ever was. However, Jimmy, you said, and your frame was, how do you change sort of
the narrative
at the next level, which is like across the board, the entire college football landscape? Penn State beats Ohio State. Penn State beat Oregon's. That's some murmurs. Good win. It gets them a little more, you know, an extra ring on their finger, some more bling, you know. They beat Ohio State, game changer. They beat Oregon, not the same level of game changer. That's why it's the Ohio State game. It changes everything across the spectrum and narrative, and it really doesn't matter how they do it. Some will say, well, it also matters how they do it. When it comes to this type of torture that a team has been through, it can be dirty, greasy, and ugly. Do not care. Right now, they just need one, any way, shape, or form. That's the difference maker.
I think it's interesting. It will be interesting how we react when the reality gets here.
Yes.
I'm probably a little less focused on Ohio State, but we're up against the break here, Andy. Let me get my thoughts together on it, and when we start segment two, I'll give you my answer.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number two of our show. We're talking about the big stories. What are the headlines for this Penn State football team going into the season? And as typical, when Andy and Jim get together, we've gotten through one topic so far in one segment. And I'm not done with it, Andy.
You're not done.
I think it's well, I want to ask you a question, and maybe this is a better way to define it. What if Penn State had in 2025 the season that Oregon had in 2024, what would you say they broke through or not?
Including like the gobsmack?
Undefeated, win the Big Ten championship game, right. Lose ugly in the first round of the playoffs.
Who they matched up with matters. It was Ohio State. That's why.
Well, it would be, remember, if they undefeated, yeah, win the Big Ten, they would be like a number one, number two seed at worst.
So, Undefeated.
So, and then they would get a bye. So they're playing someone who has won a first round game.
Okay.
So probably a pretty good team that they would be playing.
So I know what you're saying now. Okay, I get it now. Yeah, because they would be one of the prime timers, right? Undefeated means they beat Ohio State. They win the Big Ten Championship, second under James Franklin, first since 2016. Want to keep reminding you, been nearly a decade. And yes, it's still successful. It's just massive. It's disappointing in a different way, right? Like to go in and get gobsmacked and fall on your face like that. That's disappointing in a different way than making a run to the semifinal and having a chance to win the football game, a legitimate opportunity to win the football game and go to the college football playoff, first time expanded playoff final. That's different. That's sure, that's disappointing and that loss hurts, but that's not overall big picture disappointing. I think the way Oregon did it sent them right back down the ladder, right back down. They climbed up, got on the primetime stage, and then they were like, yep, nope, they're not ready. They're not there. So that's what it would. It would be very disappointing, but it would change the narrative on Penn State.
Okay. And I think, Andy, in this college football becoming more NFL-like, meaning a single loss or two in the regular season doesn't mean anything because you could still make the playoffs, and that's where you – Ohio State's the perfect example. Two regular season losses, an especially disappointing one against Michigan, and they still won a national championship. That's really all that matters. I think this Penn State team is a little bit different than most other teams. They need to notch a big win sometime, somewhere, somehow, some way. They've got to beat a big-name team, whether it's Oregon, Ohio State in the regular season, or come playoffs, they've got to beat someone like that or an Alabama or a Georgia or a Clemson. They've got to beat someone with a big name somewhere along the way. All right, Andy, as we've beaten that dead horse for a while.
All right, on to number two on the 14-segment version. We're going to have 14 quarters today of KSN to get through our list. I'm just joking. Okay, on to topic two, Jimmy. I will hand you the keys and say, you know, give me one and I'll tell you, you know, you got a headline for me?
I do. I'm going to say Drew Aller. I'm going to separate him. Now, I do, and I've said this before, I think he's attached at the hip to James Franklin. Together, they need to win a big game. You and I talked about this before. You probably framed it better than I did. It's important for Drew Aller to perform well in these big games to prove he can do it. We've seen some outstanding performances from him when they were behind. USC is the example I often use. You've brought it up. It was important for him. It was big time. It was clutch. But, man, we got to see him do that against Ohio State. You brought it up. How many touchdowns has this offense scored in the last two games against Ohio State? One.
Uno. Eins.
One.
One.
Ain't going to cut it. So, hey, if we get a 50-47 loss to Ohio State and Drew Aller lit it up, he's answered the question, even if they lost the game. But my feeling is with the talent on this team, if he performs well, the team will perform well. They're going to go as far as Drew Aller takes them.
In a different way of saying it, can the quarterback be consistently elite? Right?
Yes.
Like that's you know, can he be great instead of very good? Right? He's a legitimate NFL prospect.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me stop you for just one second, Andy. You say, can he be excellent instead of very good? The problem is,
great,
in some of those big games, he's not even been very good. Okay?
Consistently elite was the word I used.
Yeah.
So that means I'm putting them all together. 1 through 12 in the regular season. That's where you start. Can he be? He was very good last year. He was very good. He had some problems.
How would you classify him against Ohio State and Notre Dame?
Notre Dame is the reason they lost. End of story. That's it. Ohio State, their defense was the best unit on the field, and that's why. He didn't play abjectly poor against Ohio State. He didn't. He played abjectly poor against Notre Dame. The Ohio State defense was just too good for Penn State. That's all it was. That was it. That's it in a nutshell. Jim Doles' defense, when he was a coordinator at Ohio State, was too good for Drew Aller and the Penn State offense. That was it. So he wasn't, his performance wasn't dreadful. They need him to be great. They just need, he's got, the tools scream greatness, right, Jimmy? You watch yes. him. The tools. Everyone said he's a legitimate NFL prospect. He's potentially, you know, and don't, I'm not saying he is Penn State fan, so don't come flying back into the question. Why do you think he's a first? I can't do Alabama. No, he's potentially a first round NFL draft prospect. The tools scream that.
I'll go even further, Andy. He's the potential number one pick.
Okay, good. Potential's right. Can he be great instead of very good? And the big, he has a big game problem. That's it. He literally has a brightest lights, biggest stage underperformance. That's, for all of your God-given talents, that's still a very big problem. Greatness is not about, and I'm not saying he's got to go out and throw for 327 and four tutties week after week after week. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, can he be consistently elite?
We shall see, Andy. I think that's a huge question. All right, that was my topic. It's your turn.
I want to know if this offense can be the one carrying water up the hill for this team to victory. You know, in those tight spots, those toss-up 50-50 games, right? Look, this was a powerful offense a year ago, right, Jimmy? They averaged 30-plus points a game. They played a role in Penn State ascending to the college football playoff semifinal. But let's be honest. Let's be honest here, Jimmy. You had a dark black hole. You had some performance issues in big games. And the offense wasn't a show pony again last year, right? It was just a strong but deeply flawed second fiddle piece. It was kind of a little chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. I mean, you have the wide receiver position, and all, I'm not even going to go there yet, and you have that many wins in offensive production, right? But that's not sustainable at the next level, Jimmy, right? Close shave games a year ago, right? Like toss-up games, USC, Oregon in the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State game, and Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinal. Penn State's 1-3 of those games, and in two of those losses, the offense had some victory-producing shortcomings, right? That flip that script. The defense has been the bright, shining star for 2 to 3 seasons. Manny's defense for a couple years. Last year, it was one-hit wonder at DC with Tom Allen, right? Jim Knowles is outstanding at his craft, but he is working with less than either of those gentlemen had in terms of talent in the cupboard. Jim Knowles has got, I'm not saying it's bare, I'm saying he has less than either one of those had. It's time for the offense to be the bell cow. And that is what they are going to need to go to that sort of that next level. In those tight spots, in those 50-50 games, it was always the defense. Well, get to the fourth quarter, get a 6-point lead, the defense will shut and slam the door. Yep, done. Box checked about 9 times over the last 3 years, Jimmy. That defense was ridiculously elite over a long-term run. There's a little less in the cupboard. You've got your third coordinator in 2 years or 3 years, excuse me. Most of the bright, shining stars are on the offensive side of the ball. That's got to be it. It's got to be the one that carries. The offense is the bell cow. That, can this offense be a bell cow? And that will be a difference maker for Penn State.
All right, I'll ask you, can they be, Andy?
They can't. They can. They've got the quarterback position. They've got eliteness in a double tandem at running back. They've got tight end stockpiled like cordwood. And they have the deepest, they have one of the best offensive lines in the country. End of story.
I agree with that, Andy. And the two most important games, Ohio State in the regular season, Notre Dame in the playoffs, the offense, there were offensive shortcomings. And yet we could look at the wide receiver room, obviously, as part of that conversation. And Drew Aller also, and that kind of ties back to, you know, our number two story was Drew Aller's performance in these games.
Our number one story that we – yeah, he was number two. We kind of parsed through him quickly. But, yeah, I think for me it's time for when – you know, when you come into the broadcast, right, a broadcast and every game's broadcast, there's something they talk about for 45 seconds to a minute and a half, right? And for basically the last three seasons until – when they would talk about Penn State, they would talk about the defense, right? That was the story. It's time for the offense. The offense got its recognition that it deserved. It's time for the offense to be the story.
And Andy, the difference is the talent is there to do it. It's not right like there. You're saying, oh, okay, Purdue, if their offense were elite, they'd win a lot more games. No, we're talking about a team that has the talent to do it.
Play callers back, too. Don't forget that.
That is a big part of it. All right, that's it, Andy, for quarter number two. Guess what's coming up? Ask Andy. We're going to take your questions when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. If you want to send in a question for Andy, real easy, download our app. It's free. It's easy. Just search Keystone Sports. That's it. Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. Send in your question. And we love when newbies send in questions. So if you say you're a newbie, and we'll really try to make sure your question gets on the air. Ready, Andy?
I got a better word for you than newbie, Jimmy. That's kind of greenhorn. Hey, we love our greenhorns.
Okay, we'll go with greenhorn. Let's start with a guy who's definitely not a greenhorn, and that's Brad from Percocet. Brad says, with all this talk about changing the portal window and calendar, plus the players making NIL, does it make sense to move spring practice and spring games to the summer and have the portal window between March and April? Summer practice would start after the final, say in May or June, with a spring game in late June. This gives players time to explore and allows coaches to know who's on their roster for fall when practicing.
Yeah, I think I'm not abjectly opposed to that, Brad, but I don't think it's equal. So to me, that window handicaps the players because your first step towards 2025 happens after the window closed. Right now, there's a window where you take the first steps of 2025 and then you can transfer.
Well, let me address, I think Brad is trying to address that issue.
Saying it's open after summer.
Well, no, he's saying it's open in the spring. Like currently the way it is, there's the two windows, right after the season and another one in the spring after spring practice.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Practice. Right, yeah, yeah.
And for players right now, the advantage is to use that right after the season. Right. We'll use the Penn State example. Bo Prabula, it was in his best individual interest to leave then, hook up with another team so he could be there for spring practice. And what Brad's saying is he's trying to hit a couple of these issues. If it were only one portal in the spring, Bo Prabula would not have to have that pressure to leave before the playoffs were done. That's number one. And he's also saying strategically move spring practice till after the spring portal, meaning it's fair to everybody. And if you, one of the big things, coaches, if you're the receiving team receiving the portal player, you want him there in time for spring practice. Well, with Brad's model, you only have the spring portal movement, but you don't have practice until after that portal movement, that portal window. So in essence, what he's saying is Bo Prabhula could have stayed with Penn State through the playoffs. He could have portaled like in March or April and still hit spring practice. Then it would be summer practice for Missouri. I think what he's presenting, Andy, it makes a lot of sense. The problem is there's some other non-football issues and graduating school and number of exams, scholarships and things like that.
Yeah. It just feels like too many things have to go back in the back of the bed of the truck to move it, right? Like, I like the concept. I really do, Brad. I kind of like that. But I just see too many things that have to be loaded and moved in the back of the truck, and too many rocks and trees that have to be cut down and moved, and you have to shuffle around this. And it just feels like it theoretically, I think it's a good idea. I think the execution of it would be harder than it needs to be, but I just think make sure it's level. Make sure you give them their two windows. I just think they'll need over the next 5 years. Maybe you can adjust that slowly. So I like the concept. I really do. That's good.
I think what Brad is looking to solve, the issues he's looking to solve, is exactly what coaches and administrators, that's exactly what they're trying to fix.
Yep, they're trying to fix it too.
So yeah. he's on the right path.
He is.
All right. Let's get to, you're going to love this one, Andy. Jason from Mahanoy City says, Andy, I enjoyed your best of Springsteen conversation.
I'd like to
hear your Mount Rushmore of rock. I assume Springsteen is there, but your choice if you want to include him in this list. And Mount Rushmore, there's four monuments, Andy.
There's four. So
you're allowed to go more, because I started to think about this, and it was really hard for me to just do four. So you can do as many as you like.
So for Mount Rushmore, I'm going to stick with four, because if I started to go five or six, it gets harder after like two or three for me, because Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, is on my Mount Rushmore. AC/DC is on my Mount Rushmore. I believe it is of my opinion that the 10 songs from the Back in Black album for AC/DC is the single greatest from beginning to end rock and roll album in history. Third for me, this one might be a surprise, Jimmy. How about the Beatles? Right? Are they rock and roll? Are they pop? I don't know. Elvis started it, right? Elvis, Chuck Berry was part of it as well, but and he played a huge role. Elvis played a huge role. The Beatles were the first one to take it to the masses, like the masses. So, and I like the Beatles. I'm sorry. I like John, Paul, Ringo, and George. And so then it gets sticky for me. I'm like, well, there's about seven bands, right? Like that I want to put in there at four on my Mount Rushmore, but I'm going to settle on the Eagles. I mean, the harmonies of the Eagles, I know they're changed. Obviously, Glenn Frey has passed. God, I loved Glenn Frey. I even liked the solo stuff. I just thought the music, that sort of era, the 70s into the, you know, that early 70s, the mid 70s, late, that was timeless music. Like it, when they reunited all those years later, it was like they were so far ahead of themselves because they were classics, but they became new music for another generation because it was that good. So for different reasons, they're all on there. I have some, a little bit of like, storyteller, poet, songwriter. AC/DC's your pure rock and roll power band. You got the Beatles. And then I go a little ahead of their time and timeless in the Eagles.
Andy, I think definitely AC/DC and Eagles are upsets, okay? They were surprises to me. I'll give you a couple names. The Beatles, I think, considering how short their era was.
Right, it was short.
Together, but the amount of influence they had at the time, yeah, the number of artists that they influenced,
yeah,
you know, going forward, and their music still relevant today. I think the Beatles are
revolutionary
ahead of everybody else. I think, yep, they should be. I'll give you a couple names. I think Led Zeppelin.
Good one. Yeah.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I'm not a Stones guy. I'm not. I don't hate them, but I'm not a fan.
That's my take also. I'm not a big Stones guy, but I could still, you know, appreciate their influence. I also wonder, you mentioned a couple of them, you know, rock and roll is there because of some of those guys in the 50s. And right, I'm not sure how many people are still alive who knew of Elvis in the 50s.
Right. Chuck Berry.
Yeah, Chuck Berry. I had his name down. And I'll throw another one out there. Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly, the late, great Buddy Holly.
Yeah, if he hadn't passed away, how much great music would we have gotten from him and his influence, Andy?
Right.
So I think those were the early guys. I'm going to throw in one last one. And I'll make it in the form of the question. Where does Queen fit on this?
Yeah, that's a great Queen. Queen's legit, right? They would be like, so there's two, and I'll throw another band that fits in the same category, right? Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yes.
Right? Like they were cut, their greatness was cut short for different reasons, but their greatness was robbed of them. At what you could argue at the peak of their greatness for both bands, right? The death of Freddie Mercury and the plane crash for Lynyrd Skynyrd robbed both bands of their greatness. But man, yeah, Queen's so, oh my gosh, so good.
I'm going to.
By the way, I was at Live Aid in Philadelphia.
My girlfriend at the time was. I was in Philadelphia. I just missed a couple of these conferences. You know, the Springsteen concert that you were at, I was supposed to go to. I was supposed to go with a longer story with that one, Andy. I'm going to throw two quick names at you, bands, just because I want your comments on them.
Sure.
The Kinks and the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Kinks are definite, not even under consideration. Although I don't have anything against, I'm not a huge punk rock fan. No, I'm a Nirvana. I love Nirvana. But, you know, I didn't mind that genre of music, and I just don't think they were that elevating. The Beach Boys, whew, man, that one's, see, I think they could be you could say my Springsteen pick is, are they a niche band? Are they a niche band, or are they a band for the masses? I'm not sure. They have a huge niche, or are they really is the Beach Boys music for the masses? Or was it time in a bottle, Jim Croce, right? Was it time in a bottle that they were the right time, the right band, and the right sound for a certain time period?
But I think it's the question of the influence, Andy, that, yep, you know, it's not a sound for everybody, yep, which is, a good way, you called it a niche, and like Springsteen also, it's... I'm not sure of a better word than niche, but niche feels like you're saying it's too small, and it's a big niche. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, as I said, it's a big niche, but is it qualified to be for the masses?
And that's the legitimate question. So, you know, when you're limited to just four, and Andy has heading up two fingers. We got two questions in, Andy. That was it.
Embarrassing.
All right, that's it for quarter number three at Ask Andy. More to go when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim, and we got through an astounding two questions in segment number three. I am blaming not you, Andy, not me. I'm blaming Jason from Mahanoy City. When you ask for a list and he asked for our Mount Rushmore of rock. Great question, Jason. If we were going to pick a question of the day, that would be the winner. Let's move on. Andy, our topic of the day, other than our questions, is what are the headlines for this Penn State football team going into the season? Through two segments, quarter one and two, we got through three headlines. So we, as Andy put it, the clock has cleaned our clock so far on this show. So we're going to try to hit multiple topics. I happen to have my list here. We're going to hit several of them in this quarter. You ready to go, Randy? Rapid fire. I think a headline's going to be the defense's adjustment to Jim Knowles. I think everyone thinks of Jim Knowles as one of, if not the best defensive coordinator in the country. There's a lot of talent coming back. This is something that should fit. Andy, how quick are they going to suffer any growing pains? Again, this is the third coordinator in 3 years.
Yeah, this is a different transition a little bit in my mind. For a guy like Denai Dennis Sutton, for example, this is his third DC, right, that he's sort of, you know, been a contributor slash major contributor. Now he's going to be looked upon as a star. You know, I had zero worries last year in the transition from Manny to Tom Allen because they were so deep in stock, Jimmy. And that's we talked about even before they lost a guy like KJ Winston. Like we were talking about this last year. Like, don't worry about the transition. They've got 19 starters or whatever number we come up with, 17, whatever it was. It was ridiculous. They lost KJ Winston. Oh, God. How did the safety position look? Next question. They're a little lighter in terms of developed and known talent this year. So yeah, I think they're going to have some adjustments. Hence my headline. One of my headlines being the offense sort of carrying a little bit more water up the hill. The defense just, you know, Jim's really good at his craft. I still expect some greatness and, you know, some levels of eliteness. I just think that's the way it will show up, but I don't think it's going to show up sooner than later. Like last year, what were we like? It was almost like, okay, Manny's gone. Tom's the defensive coordinator. Other than him being on the cheerleader on the sidelines and then getting banished to the press box because he should have, James made the right move. You can't have the camera focus on the DC like that all the time. Other than that, it was pretty seamless because they were stocked. They're not the lake isn't as stocked with trout this year, Jimmy. So there's going to be some development to go along with the adjustments to Jim. So yeah, I think I don't see it as like a, you know, I'm waving hurricane flags or warning flags up. I don't see it that way, but I definitely think there's going to be some, let's call it a little bit of clunkiness.
I've reached the point though, Andy, on the defense, I give them the benefit of the doubt. You often say like at wide receiver, it's a completely different wide receiver room, but they've got to prove it. Until they do, we don't buy it. I buy into the tight end every year. I buy into the defense every year, Andy, until they prove otherwise.
Yeah, so, well, give me your stock tips, because you buy into those two, you're winning. Short and long, Jimmy. Short and long.
Okay, let me give you, this might be a little bit under the radar, Andy, but I think it's so important.
Okay.
Can the offensive line dominate? I'm not saying can they be good. They're going to be good, Andy. They're going to be good.
They are good.
Can they be next level dominant?
Yes. Will the offensive line be dominating? What tells you that you could expect it to even teeter towards the other way, right? They have six starters back. Wow. One is a talented semi-greenhorn who has some seat time, and five starters, right? And we're talking about Cooper Cousins. That's the sixth one. The other five are starters. And they have some serious depth. They have three freaking starting tackles. They evolved over the course of the 2024 season into a dominating offensive line. That was a dominating offensive line. And they lost Sal Wormley. That's it. Remember, Nick Dawkins was NFL eligible. He's returning. He's still the linchpin, in my opinion. But how much stronger and deeper is this offensive line group because Nick Dawkins stayed? Think about that, Jimmy, right? If you add getting a new center and who that is and what part you have to move, is it Cooper? Can Cooper slide in a guard? You go a little, you know, greenhorn at center. It just, the Nick Dawkins coming back just automatically screams at you. Where they left off, expect them to pick up. This line has every single element you could ask for to be elite and dominating, and they are already playing at that level. It's not something that we haven't seen from them that you can say is an expectation. They kicked the crap out of Notre Dame across the board for 60 minutes, both in pass pro and running the ball. They kicked the crap out of that defensive front all 60 minutes across the board. What says they're not going to do it? The loss of Sal Wormley? He was a guy that I kind of was enamored with, and I get it, despite his limitations. That's the guy they lost. Yes, this offensive line will be dominating.
And when you mention Nick Dawkins coming back, there's two aspects to it, Andy. You've got the experienced center, the guy in the middle returning. That's so important. Like, but it also means balls. You don't have to take someone who would be a guard, move them to center. So it's both, okay, we got the experienced upperclassman, the leader back at center. That's great. But it also means I've got more depth across the line.
You have spring, summer camp, and the beginning of season with a healthy Nick Dawkins to do talent development at the center position. Huge. Instead of talent development needs to start.
Right.
Huge difference. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. It's a big deal. I think the offensive line is a big deal, Andy. And I think
huge.
It affects your entire offense. It is huge. Okay, we've danced around it, but it's a huge story, Andy. What's that wide receiver room going to look like?
This is short and sweet. It's the Badlands, Jimmy. I just can't. I know. There's my song reference for you guys out there. It's the Badlands. I don't know. I just can't. I can't. I'm not. I need 12 quarters. I don't need spring ball and reports and camp and report. Just put the dudes out there. Show me. I don't care how many it is. Could be four, five. I don't care. Three. I don't care. Whatever you decide is your rotation and your wide receiver thing. Then I need 12 quarters. Until then, it's the Badlands. I just can't. I won't.
You know, Andy, it's funny. When I've talked about the other positions like tight end, the defense,
yep.
I just saying, I assume they're going to be good because they've been good. Okay. Until you prove to me otherwise, I'm going to have confidence in those positions. Now that I'm talking about wide receiver, I want to frame my argument differently. I now don't want to say, oh, just because it was good in the past, it'll be you know, good in the future. I want to say past performance is no indicator of future performance. I want to say that the wide receiver position, year to year, it's an independent event, and the last couple of years don't affect it.
Andy did spectacular work last year by making an offense, turning an offense into a powerhouse without the use of, basically with one hand tied behind his back overall, because the wide receiver position contributed so little. It was such a lack of an element. And as the stages got bigger and they ascended through the playoffs, the no targets to the wide receiver against Notre Dame until like the last minute or whatever, that wasn't an accident, Jimmy. So Andy can do this without him. It's not sustainable, and they won't become elite without it. They just, it's the Badlands, Jimmy.
It is an independent event. Judge it individually. I'm hoping those three transfers could do the job. Here's another story, Andy, that I'm putting it out there, even though me personally, I don't think it's that important, but I think it's in a historic perspective, it may be. Could Nick Singleton and or Catron Allen end up the all-time rushing leader at Penn State? Currently, that's Evan Royster. And to tell you why I don't think it's the most critical thing in the world, we did something with For the Bloggy folks. I had a vote. They had the top players of the 21st century. So over the last 25 years, I didn't even have Evan Royster in my top four running backs in the last 25 years. So I think it's a bit of an accumulating statistic. However, with that said, having both these running backs, did you know Nick Singleton is 1,020 yards away from the record? Catron Allen is 1,055 yards away from the record. Wouldn't that be something if two guys on the same unit, same team, both broke that record?
There's zero reason for me to believe anything other than both of them will hit that marker. And this duo ends up 1-2 in the Penn State record books in terms of career rushing yards. There's nothing. What tells you? They were both 1,000-yard rushers last season. And Nick Singleton, by the way, spent some time compromised and banged up, right? And had to sort of play his way back in. I mean, they've got what's in front of them, right? Dudes. Lots of dudes. A lot of the same dudes. What? Is every defense going to be that much better and different in the Big Ten? I don't think so. What's to prevent these two from doing it? What's to prevent both of them from being 1,100-yard rushers as opposed to both of them just eclipsing 1,000 yards? Nothing. I mean, part of their legacy in that record will be, can Penn State capitalize on this incredible tandem at a championship level? I'm not talking national only, by the way. At a championship level. That will galvanize their legacy, right? Like, but they've already sort of carved out their own. This will solidify. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that tells me that this is a long walk home.
How about this for a fantasy finish? As they cruise to the national championship in that final game, both Nick Singleton is ahead by 10 yards. They keep feeding Catron Allen, and Catron Allen has open field in front of him, and he goes down at exactly 10 yards to tie Nick Singleton. That's it for the show, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.